These 40 days of Lent are often described as a journey, as a time that we journey into the wilderness. And while we may not be on a literal journey, physically going to a different location, this is certainly a season for us to journey spiritually. Travel can be renewing. Going to new places can refresh us. In travel, our perspective can widen. It can change. And so for this reason, Christians have for centuries gone on a particular kind of journey. We have gone on pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is a kind of holy travel. It's a journey for the soul to make. It involves a period of prayer and discerning God's call. A pilgrim journeys to a holy site, a place of prayer, of encounter with God. And that process of journeying can change a person. It is often true that one returns from a pilgrimage in a different place than one left. And so Lent is a way, I think, for us to make a pilgrimage, though we stay in place physically. We don't go to a new location. But there's also another side to making a pilgrimage, and that is that it can be challenging to do so. You never know what you might encounter. And certainly it can be hard for us to leave behind the familiar, to break out of everyday routine. For us, the familiar often can be comfortable, it can be reassuring, it can provide structure. But in this comfort, we can become closed to new experiences. And going on pilgrimage can take us away from the routine of our lives, opening us up to new experiences of God and of ourselves. In accepting the journey with its uncertainties, there is, I think, one thing we can trust, that the process will change us. Our relationship with God may very well deepen. We will open ourselves to new ways of living and being. Pilgrimage can be a step in reorienting our lives to God, in placing God at the center. In our lessons today, we see two examples of making a journey, although they are very different. Our first, from the book of Genesis, tells of Abram literally setting out into the unknown. God calls him with his immediate family to go on a journey. God doesn't tell Abram where he's going. He doesn't tell Abram how long it will take. God doesn't offer explanation or details of exactly what will happen. But God offers promises. The promise that Abram and his descendants will be a mighty nation, and they will flourish and thrive in their new land. The promise that just as God blesses Abram, so Abram will be a blessing to others. And remarkably, I got to say, Abram is not like me, because Abram is able to set out. Abram is able to trust God and to go without all the questions that I would want to have answers to before I go. But Abram doesn't ask those. Abram doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wonder, is this really a prudent thing to be doing? He doesn't question if God will do what God has promised. He trusts God, and he ventures out into the unknown. The journey that Abram sets out on is long. He does not arrive at his destination quickly. And there are certainly times when Abram doubts that God will keep the promises God has made. There are times when he says to God, "When will this happen? When will I have descendants too many to number? I'm getting old. It's not happening." But Abram expresses this to God. He expresses his doubts to God. And God then hears, accepts those, and reassures Abram. And that's enough for Abram to then continue on his journey. Abraham finds God worthy of trust. And then there's another kind of journey in our gospel today, but it has that same theme of venturing into the unknown. Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, a Jewish leader and a teacher, and Jesus invites Nicodemus to leave the familiar, to leave what he understands and knows. Jesus challenges him with new thinking. And Nicodemus is perplexed by this. John tells us that Nicodemus comes to Jesus believing the signs that Jesus does. Nicodemus sees in Jesus the presence of God. He recognizes that what Jesus is doing is of God. But it's also interesting that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. That might be because he's concerned going to Jesus what the others who are also leaders of the people of Israel will think about his doing this. There may be negative consequences for him. And so he can come to Jesus under cover of night and not be seen. But there is a deeper meaning also. There's a deeper meaning to this conversation taking place at night. In John's Gospel, we repeatedly have those themes of light and dark, of day and night. They run throughout the text of the Gospel. And the dark is an image for unbelief, the light an image for belief. And so while Nicodemus knows that Jesus does the works of God, he doesn't comprehend what this means. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't understand Jesus is the Son of God. And so he's not able to fully interpret the signs that Jesus does. He does not yet see the identity of Jesus. And so Jesus invites Nicodemus into a deeper, into a more profound faith and understanding, and to do so by being born anew, being born again, born to a new way of life. Jesus invites Nicodemus to leave behind the certainties of what he knows and open himself up to deeper truths that he can't yet grasp. Jesus calls Nicodemus to be born again, being born from above by water and spirit. This is a call away from the ways of this world and a call toward the things of God, to things that are heavenly, to the ways of the Spirit. We hear in this call of Nicodemus echoes of baptism. In the waters of baptism, we die to life in this world, and we rise to the divine life of God. In baptism, we die to the values of this world, and we put on the identity, we put on the mind of Christ. And in baptism, we're filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're given the gifts, the power to live by things heavenly. For in baptism, we are reborn. We enter into the rebirth of resurrection life with Jesus, becoming a new creation. So Jesus invites Nicodemus to accept a new life, a new way of being, a life of abundance with God. And this life is leaving behind the dark of night and walking in the light of God. It's a life that rejects the ways of this world, with its emphasis on the value of money, on possessions. It's a life that rejects violence and lives instead by love. It's a life that says that all people are made in the image and likeness of God and are beloved of God. No one has more worth than another, and so all are to be treated with respect, with dignity that befit children of God. The invitation given to Nicodemus is, I think, the same invitation that we are given in this season of Lent. It's the call to walk in the light of God, to trust that God leads us and cares for us on the way. It's an invitation to a Lenten journey that follows Jesus into new places, into places where we encounter God in new and surprising ways. To follow means setting out, not knowing where we're going or where we will end up. It requires that trusting God will lead us in the path we need to follow. Following means giving up the comfort of what we know and expect so that we can receive the new, the surprising experiences God has in store for us. This Lent, Jesus calls us to a life of deeper and more profound meaning than we can begin to imagine. Like Nicodemus, Jesus invites us into deeper and more mature faith, into an intimate relationship with God. We're being invited to be recreated, renewed, reborn in Jesus. We hear in this passage that this invitation of Jesus is about belief and about faith. John says to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." But that belief, that faith, is not only about intellectual assent. It's in fact not primarily about thought. Rather, to believe in God is to trust God, is to have a meaningful relationship with God. Faith is trusting God, having confidence that God will sustain and care for us. Belief and faith are relational. They entail being in right relationship with God. Jesus calls us to a rebirth in which our hearts, our minds, our souls, our imaginations are open to God in new ways. And by this, we come into deeper relationship with God. We come to know God more fully, and we trust God more deeply. And the hallmark of this way of life is blessing. God blesses us richly, and God will continue to do so. And then in turn, we become a blessing to those we meet. Just as Abram was blessed by God and was a blessing to others, so will we be. Just as Abram was blessed by God and was filled with the light of God, so will we. Living by faith, living by deep relationship with God, others will see in us the light of Christ. And through the presence of Jesus in us, others will know him and they will be blessed. Walking in the light, others will be blessed by the light of God's love shining in and through us. And so in this season of Lent, God is inviting you and inviting me on a journey. We're invited to leave behind our old ways and to venture out into new, to enter into a new landscape. Traveling into the unknown, we will have experiences we cannot dream of. We will be changed in ways that we can scarcely imagine. Our lives will be richly blessed, more than we can hope. But also, just as it was for Abram, and just as it was for Nicodemus, so it will be for us. The season of Lent is only the beginning. It's just one part of our lives. We will not experience everything in these weeks. We will not arrive at our final destination in these weeks. For the journey takes time. It unfolds bit by bit through the course of our lives. And there will be times on this journey when we might feel lost. We might wonder where we are, where is God even? And certainly wonder when we might arrive. Like Abram, we may wonder, is God truly faithful? Will God keep the promises that God has made? And like Nicodemus, there may be times when we don't understand what Jesus is saying to us. We don't understand the call, and we may be confused. But over time, we will come to understand. For if we have patience, all will be revealed. God will not give up on us. And God will faithfully lead us in this journey with its joys and its challenges. And God will at last lead us to our destination, to the fullness of God's kingdom, where we will see God face to face and worship at God's throne for eternity, where God leads us into the fullness of resurrection life. May we set out on this journey. May we walk this Lenten pilgrimage, trusting that God desires to lead us into the fullness of life. For God does not desire the death of sinners, but instead desires that all may grow in knowledge and love of God. And in accepting this invitation, may our faith deepen as we grow in relationship with God. As God blesses us, so may we walk in the light of Christ, that we might be a blessing to all we meet. As I thought of today's lessons, I was put in mind of words by the poet W.H. Auden. In his Christmas oratorio, For the Time Being, he has a passage that I think just captures, at least for me, what is contained in these lessons, and I close with it. He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness. You will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage all its occasions shall dance for joy. Amen. Amen.